Okay, it is now 5 minutes after five on the 23rd of the 24th of June, 2020. Would like to bring the selectmen's meeting to order. We will dispense with the salute to the flag for this meeting. All of those of you out in Radio Land, is there anybody who wishes to make a public comment? Hearing none, we will go on to the new business. We have a library trustee who is going to be reappointed.
So we have two. Another one came in this morning through email.
Oh, okay.
So, yep.
So I think we need to make a motion to reappoint
Anna Gourlay and Christine Hobby.
Yeah. Okay, so we have two library trustees who are due to be reappointed for an alternate position. And I would make a motion that we approve Anna Gourlay and Christine Hobby to be appointed to the Samberton Library Trustees as an alternate effective June 24th, 2020.
Do they have the same? Doesn't have.
I think that they were both reappointments to as alternate.
Yeah. Right, but then for how long? Didn't have a
3 years, I think. Right.
1 year, I believe.
In the volunteer policy, it says specifically 3 years.
I was going to say, I thought they were a three-year
other
term.
Other than that?
For three years. So
for the appointment.
For three years. So yeah, I need a second.
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Christine Hobby and Anna Gourlay will be reappointed.
I told them that, or I told Marcia that they'll need to contact the town clerk to get sworn back in.
Yeah. Okay, moving on, we have the first responder stipend. We have a letter from Chief Hankard. He has applied for the first responder stipend for the new officer, Tim Stevens. He'll be eligible for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of pay at $348.86. So I will make a motion to accept the funding under RSA 21-P:43 for emergency management purposes in the amount of $342.86 from the CARES Act due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and to authorize the funding to be used to pay weekly stipends to part-time officer Timothy Stevens of the Samberton Police Department based on the state of New Hampshire's guidance document. Do I have a second? Okay, Tom seconds it. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining, ayes have it, motion carries. Would you notify Steve that we have approved that?
Yep.
So just while we're on that topic, have you gotten most everything you need now for the rest of the, so March, and we can do March, April, and May.
For the CARES Act?
For the rest of the departments.
I am working on it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is in my...
You are working on it. That's all.
Well, so the department heads, though,
yes,
ought to be filling that, because, you know, for example, I think for the, like, for the postage, the additional postage that we incurred,
yep,
that's got to be, you know, Julie's got a running list, but all that has to be put into the spreadsheet.
Yep.
So I would expect that the department heads are doing all of that and giving it to you to just be incorporated into a single one instead of, we're not trying to put 600 lines worth of stuff into a...
I haven't gotten that far at it,
okay,
to be honest. But I didn't realize that it was, I don't know how much extra stuff.
Well, we had at least...
We do have some, yes.
Just between the postage, Nate's construction expenses for doing things like the walk-up windows, you know, it was over $1,000, so it's certainly worth pursuing. But I don't want you being the one...
I know I have not given myself a whole ton of time to finish it up, but there was...
No, it's July 15th, so yeah, we've got a couple of weeks. But I just encourage you to get the department heads to help you by filling out their... I don't know if Marcia's incurred any expenses with the library.
Mm-hmm. I believe she emailed me about,
okay,
some of that stuff.
All right.
Okay. Was Nate going to join us?
I don't.
He wrote.
I'm here.
Oh.
Hey,
okay. Nate.
Okay. We didn't hear you sign in, Nate. So. Okay. Next. That's next on the agenda is the transfer station. We have in our packet some information which was sent from Nate to, or from Trish,
yeah,
to Jim, and...
Yeah, so maybe I can tee it up. So I was contacted by Jen Holt, who is the chair of the Solid Waste Disposal Committee, about some serious concerns they had or perceived about how things were going at the transfer station, not in terms of the job that anybody's doing, but some of the challenges that they're encountering, you know, as we transition through these different phases of the virus and everything. So that's what I forwarded. That's what's in the packet is the email that Jen sent to me. You know, so Nate's had it. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but Nate, stop me if I'm wrong. You know, Nate's seen it. And I think what we have is a situation where, you know, one thing was said, but it was heard differently by people, and it created a lot more concern than Nate originally had. I mean, I think, and I know, I'm sure everybody, when, you know, when you go to the station and you see Nate and you ask how things are going, and
yep,
you know, he'll let you know how it is. And yeah, we've had a couple of people that, you know, aren't happy or have a hard time following the process. But overall, you know, most people have been doing well. And I think somewhere in the conversation with the Solid Waste Committee, that conversation kind of turned into a, you know, sky is falling, the transfer station is on the verge of collapsing. And so in our package also is a thing that Nate put together just to kind of outline really what he needs. And, you know, the first thing is, I think, just some help educating the public, you know, reminding them that even though the restrictions on gatherings have been lifted, that doesn't mean all clear, you know, so we're still keeping operations down. Just because we can doesn't mean we should have large groups of people together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we're phasing into the this kind of transition. I think they've done a great job at the station, marking everything out and helping people through the process. The second thing he needs is to get a third body in there. You know, we lost the fill that we had. So we're, actively trying to get somebody to come in. Now, he's been fortunate. The highway department's been able to offer some volunteers to come down. They volunteer to work extra hours.
Yeah.
On
because they've gone to that 4-day work.
Yeah,
week
on Friday weekend. And Saturday when Nate needs it. So that's okay, but it's not a permanent solution.
No.
I read and I understand all of the concern from the Solid Waste Committee, but I think talking to Nate that there are some challenges, but I don't think that's any different. Nate, correct me if I'm wrong. Any given Saturday under good conditions, you run into the occasional person who's got an issue.
Well, and you do, but some of the other issue is these residents, they got to deal with it when they go shopping, they deal with it when they go to the bank. So it's elevated in a different way because they're just, everywhere they go, they're bombarded with, you can't go there, don't do this. And I'm sure it can become quite frustrating at the end of the day. So it's a different atmosphere than what it was. But and the other thing I'd like to ask or say, this whole me saying that I would like to have somebody in there on Fridays also, that would only be feasible if it's being covered by potentially the CARES Act, because that is not in a budget, just so as we're all on that same page, if you're following me.
Yep.
Yep.
So that would only be able to go on as long as the CARES Act continues. And I'm not so sure that we're going to hire somebody anytime soon, to be perfectly honest with you. And that's where one of my concerns comes in with the highway department's gone up and over for the transfer station. But there is a limit to where they're going to say, this has been my time. I've gone down there and, obviously they're getting paid, but they're volunteering their time. So we need to think about what happens if they finally get to a point where, you're on your own for at least this weekend or that weekend. So that's just food for thought there. And potentially all that means is just going to slow things down a little bit more. And everybody will just have to deal with it.
I'll also point out, so there, in that email from the Solid Waste Committee, there were several recommendations. One of them was, a selectman be down there on Saturdays, part of the day at least to meet with people. And I talked to Nate about that. He wasn't really interested. He has talked to Chief Hankard to arrange to have some extra police presence on Saturday.
Yeah.
While they're making their rounds, if they have nowhere else to hang out, hang out at the station. It seems, Nate, right, to kind of keep people a little calmer.
Yeah.
It seemed to have worked last Saturday. And I would like to just get on the record and have it be said that that was not a conversation piece with me during the Solid Waste Committee meeting.
Oh, okay.
As far as we're going to work on that with the Solid Waste Committee. I haven't had a chance to. There's a couple things that just need to be updated as far as the minutes go. So having the select board around the transfer station was not a conversation piece that I had any part of.
Okay. I'd like to come down Saturday for a couple hours at least, maybe like 10 to 12 or something like that, just to be there. I don't know if that'll...
And which is fine, but I have two frames of mind on this. One is it could potentially add confusion. It could add some conflict and potentially slow things down more, because the residents see the selectmen there and they're unhappy, or they have other things that they've always wanted to talk to a selectman about, other issues. And I'm sure it can all work out fine, and we can say you move your vehicle over here and you have the conversation and whatnot. But that's one of my concerns there. And my second concern is, where am I headed with this?
Okay, Nate, I won't be there.
Well, no, I'm not telling you not to, but my second concern
I want to be a help, not a hindrance. So
right. You guys hired me to do the job so that you didn't have to be down there doing the job.
Yeah. Well, with what you've said, I would love to stay home and do other things.
Right.
But I thought if I could be a help, I would come down there. But if it's going to be more of a hindrance than a help, then I'll stay away. I'll come in on Friday and do my usual dump on Friday and talk to you then.
Right. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Okay.
Well, Nate, I think you said it, right? We hired you to run the transfer station.
Right.
We trust your judgment. If you need something, I'm comfortable and I'm confident that you will come and say, hey, I need X, just like you said, hey, I would like the extra police presence on Saturday. That was no problem. If you get to the point you say, hey, you know, maybe it would be good to have somebody down here because now I'm getting more questions and help deflect that, don't hesitate. We're here to back you up. So whatever it is you need, but we also, like John said, we don't want to be forcing solutions on you that aren't really going to help.
And we don't want to add to the problem rather than solve it. So I don't know if you've got our phone numbers.
He's got mine.
I do.
Do you have
mine? I do. I do.
I mean, if you need somebody on Saturday to come down and talk to a few people, I think I'm like 15 minutes away, maybe. So, give me a call. I'll come over right away, and we'll see what we can do. But, we're here.
In my mind, go ahead.
We're here, and you, I don't think there's any one of us here that doesn't agree that you are doing a great job down there. Mm-hmm. And we will back you up whatever happens, and
and that being said, I can't take all the credit for doing a good job down there too.
Well, Shannon, I know Shannon's doing a good job. You and Shannon are doing great. But that being said, if you need help, do not hesitate to let us know. Because I mean, we aren't mind readers. We can't help you if you don't know that you got a problem. So please.
So that being said, the one scenario that I see where I would need help is if it gets to a point where I don't have the third person on Saturday, then potentially at that point I would either need somebody from the police department or the fire department to come there for the purpose of traffic control.
Paul Dixon laughed wildly now.
Well,
he's sitting in the back of the room laughing wildly.
Is it?
Oh, so he gets to go to the meeting? Come on.
You can come. Anybody can come. We have chairs socially distanced.
But you're a better offer.
But he heard you say fire department and he started chuckling.
Well, it's because I look up to him so much.
Okay, but
yeah.
So that's a worst case scenario right now. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, there's only so much we can do.
What do you need?
Basically it's the education, the conversation piece, the little post here and there that says, you know, most of the other transfer stations potentially in the state of New Hampshire aren't even running as well as this is. To be patient, it's the, I guess where my biggest struggle now is this has been going on long enough. We must start getting it down at some point as far as the residents go.
Okay, hang on a second, Nate. Tricia's got a question.
Oh, I was just wondering what you might need from us as far as, like, support with the Solid Waste Committee.
So, as of right now, I do not know, to be perfectly honest. I'm in a weird area here that I'm still trying to work through. It's a great question. It just doesn't have a great answer. And it will.
And as to the Solid Waste Committee's recommendations, the C&D hiring more employees or raising the pay, our hands are kind of tied right now with the budget we've got now to be able to do that immediately.
It's part of a much bigger conversation. I mean, if we, you know, add 40% to the salary of one position in town without doing a fair look across all of the jobs, then we're going to have more than just one position we have to worry about. So.
And I think you've got one open position right now that you can go ahead and hire for, because that's already in your budget. But over and above that, I don't think you have any more positions that you budgeted for. So we would have.
And I did not. So there was a conversation piece there where Shauna had the ability to go get another job, and I threw that out there when they were asking about why did one person leave, you know, after the 3 weeks, and Shauna, through the goodness of her heart, said, because we just lost Corey and we just lost Chuck, this isn't a good time. Taking the town and myself under her wing in a weird way, said, I will stay for now while we get through this whole COVID thing. And what was said was that she had turned down an $18 and change job to stay with the town of Samberton to keep us up and running. And I basically was saying this is, you know, this was a nice gesture on her part, and it wasn't, we all need to get a bunch of raises, and I got to have six guys down there. So this is where I say I'm in limbo right now.
I mean, I just think that it's fine.
We don't want to downplay, you know, Shauna's willingness to stay and keep things going, but you know, at the end of the and you know it, right? At the end of the day, we can't just throw money at the problem.
And I do know that. So the meaning of it didn't work for me.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's something we need to consider. You know how. But we aren't, unfortunately, we're just not in a position where we can try to compete for salaries.
Well, correct. And like you and I talked about, the fourth person is not feasible, and the third person for 2 days would only be feasible budget-wise under some type of COVID, you know, act that helps reimburse for labor and whatever else, so...
Solid Waste Committee have any recommendations that maybe they could come down and help you on those Saturdays? Did any of them volunteer to do that? I'm just curious.
So this is a conversation that I've had with them, and I do want them to volunteer, and they're willing to, but when they're coming to volunteer is when we're operating normally. So that they can be at a station and explain how that station works and what does and doesn't go here. the way we're operating right now, it's just not feasible to have those extra people around trying to explain something when I've got 15, 20 cars lined up.
It needs to
right
be a dump,
now,
but not an education experience.
Correct. And the Solid Waste Committee is more than willing to come down there and educate. But I've told...
Maybe when you guys aren't open, we can do like an informational video and put it on wherever you want to put it. And then that will show an outline very visually what is expected, where are people supposed to go, and then they can have it playing on the website or whatever, whatever social media that they deem acceptable, just for help of
people. I totally love that idea, and that's why my most needed thing was education, because I'm not savvy to that type of stuff.
We're going to make Nate a two-star.
We're going to put it on.
All right.
I'm sure.
But no.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You know, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll keep, brainstorming some of those things. Your point about what happens when the volunteers run out from the highway department is understood. So we'll have to come up with some ideas there. But, like John said, whatever it is you need, let's keep working on it. We're not going to solve world hunger, but, maybe we can.
And this is a changing animal all the time, too. I could say this right now, and then in 10 minutes I could be like, well, now this is new and that's old, and it's
right. –
I swear that the residents are going to get this down because we've been at it for quite some time. The initial setup is 14 weeks old now.
Yep.
So we must start getting it at some point. Now, and I appreciate this. I want to bring up one more thing just to set it in our brains that what does happen if some weird scenario happens where Shauna and Nate and potentially the new person, new hire that we get now has come down and we don't feel good for whatever reason. We don't feel good, so now we're in a situation where potentially we're not able to operate that. And the highway department is potentially having an issue at the same time. I just want you guys to think about the fact that at some point that transfer station may need to be shut down for 2 weeks because we will be out of options if some weird scenario like that happens. And I just want this to be in the back of our minds. Whether or not it actually happens, I highly doubt it, but Somebody from your guys' ranks would have to organize this at that point.
Well, even right now, with the way you're operating now, if Shauna got sick or you got sick, you'd be down to one person, and legally we can't operate it with just one person.
Hadn't thought about it like that either, but...
So somebody would have to step in, and if something was going on and the highway department couldn't afford to let somebody go down there, then we'd either have to, one of the selectmen would have to go down there and work with you, or we'd have to have somebody, but even one of the selectmen coming down there, we're not certified.
All right, gotta have the solid waste operator.
We'd probably have to just see if we could get other town solid waste to come in.
That's what I just wrote.
Oh.
A note to self, Yeah, like we had to do with town clerk in the transition.
Yeah.
Right. So this is why I'm throwing that out there.
Yeah, let's just hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, but
it isn't going to, but it hasn't been mentioned previously, and I just think it's a good thing to have a little forethought on where things might go. 2 weeks isn't going to be an earth ender. If it does have to happen that way, it will not be an earth ender.
Yeah, I mean, clearly we would go to a bare minimum. Yeah.
Well, I think we're operating on a bare minimum right now.
Well, no, we're doing recycling right now.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have to. We just go back to a trash only. And I guess the other thing along those lines, you know, and we're not going to plan out all the scenarios now, but just something for you to think about, Nate, is, you know, what's our flexibility if we had to change because of a shortfall like that, you know, somebody was out for a while and we had to go to just, you know, trash only, what's our flexibility to change our container setup to have more containers available for the trash compactor?
So that is a conversation that I just had, and it's basically it's within 24 hours I can have whatever container I need at the same rental fee that we're paying for any of the other containers, so we can pick and choose what container we want. And I have a note on my desk to put this plan in place, especially if it were to be me, that this is the number to call, this is the overflow container that you're going to want, the placement of that container. And basically it'll end up, you know, everything will go to household, the MSW, and then as soon as that's full, they're just going to go right down to where demo would be. Demo would not be accepted at this point, obviously.
Right.
And away we go.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, those are the kinds of things. You've got a plan. We just need to make sure we all know it so that, God forbid,
right,
we execute it.
Mm-hmm. It's chicken scratch right now, but worse, you know, if something were to happen, it would be very easy to be figured out. Obviously, I'm always just a phone call away. But it'll be very easily set up, but there again, it'll go back to the patience of the residents on it, because it will become a one-lane scenario again and a one-at-a-person time thing again.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you know, it is what it is. People will have to deal with it if we're in that situation.
Okay, hang on, Nate. Paul's got a question.
Just as a reminder that we've been in our transfer station essential workforce. So under our workforce protection policy that we created at the beginning of this whole thing, that if the staff down there do start becoming symptomatic, we can get them down to the air and get them tested and have results within 2 days. So it's not necessarily a two-week, you know, just because you're symptomatic doesn't mean you have COVID-19.
Yeah.
And so just keep that, bear that in mind, that it's not a, you know, just because I'm showing signs and symptoms, now I'm quarantined for 2 weeks. We've come a long way from, you know, what, 10 weeks ago when that was occurring. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, Paul was just saying if somebody down there became symptomatic, we could get them down to urgent care, get them tested, and know whether they had COVID within 48 hours generally.
Right, right.
I just went through that, and it took them about I had it done Friday, and they had it back to me on Monday. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. I wasn't able to hear them, but you know, we have come a long way in this whole testing scenario, which is great.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not saying this in any manner to make anybody worry. It's just we need to think about it.
Yep. Nope, we got a plan, and you're doing exactly the right thing. So, you know, as you think of more things, and if, you know, it requires some kind of support, again, just let us know, and we'll, you know, if that means reaching out, you know, coordinating ahead of time with other towns around that might have additional staff that could support us. You know, we could hire them, you know, temporarily to fill in, whatever that might be. You know, if you know of particular places that have larger stations and have more flexibility, you know, maybe we reach out to them now and just kind of get on their
I'm sure they're all busy on Saturdays.
Right, but
too. Yeah.
But if we were in a dire situation where we were down,
right,
you know, because of illness or whatever, at least having that, it's better to have that conversation up front, you know, and either have them say, yeah, well, you know, if you need us, give us a call, or say, no way, we can't do it.
Other communities might have, similar like we do, solid waste operators who are working at the highway department or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah.
So if you know of any of those offhand, Nate, we'll, you know, start with them.
Well, I know of a bunch of them. The part about that that scares me is that they'll be like, well, yeah, we can do that for you, but will you do that for us? And I certainly would, but I can't leave.
If we are able, we would do it for them.
Right. So I think, you know, Franklin, I've talked with a lot of transfer stations a lot, but I think Franklin has the ability to, because they have, you know, city highway department, they have the ability to pull in all types of people to continue running their transfer station. And we touched on this a little bit, 3 weeks ago. So they're the type of place that's real close. It doesn't need me to come and bail them out, but they have the ability to potentially come and bail us out.
Right.
Or the disease as assigned in every job description.
All right.
Okay, Nate.
Okay. So are you guys all good with me?
Yeah. Yep. Always.
Thank you for hard work you're doing down there.
Well, and I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And maybe I'll go to the next meeting then. I'm kind of bummed out.
You're not missing anything.
No. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Shauna, for us, too.
Yeah.
I will.
Until Paul walked in, there wasn't anybody but socially distanced chairs here. Okay,
all right.
Paul,
thank you, guys.
I'll see you on Friday.
You will.
When
Thank
I
you.
Make my usual run.
I'll be there.
Okie doke. Moving on. Historic District Commission encumbrance.
Right. So
we have something in our packet.
Yeah. So if you remember, so the Historic District Commission was able to get a grant from the state to do the survey of the historic district properties and do the evaluation, which is in a draft and it looks great. I mean, she's done a fantastic job, but things did get delayed, you know, as the COVID stuff unfolded. So we had the original plan was to be done by June 30th. That hasn't happened. So they're still finalizing the report, and then we're scheduled to have a public meeting to go over the report with anybody who is interested in it. So in the packet, Franz Vail, who's the chair of the Historic District Commission, is asking to encumber the remaining funds from that line, because we do have a signed contract with May Williams, so we owe the money. We just want to make sure that it doesn't get swept up in end of year.
Yeah, $1,250 is the amount.
Correct. So she got paid a retainer up front, got paid half now, and then the remaining $1,250. So there's actually $1,325 in the line to make sure we've got everything covered. So I would make a motion that we authorize the encumbrance of $1,325 from line 4199-790 to cover the outstanding amount due on the contract for the Historic District Commission.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second on the table. Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. I'm not sure what happens now, I think.
I just talk to Peg and make sure it doesn't get...
And make sure she knows that it's encumbered.
And just as a reminder, I mean, it has nothing to do with the encumbrance, but we will get reimbursed by the state for that amount once the project's complete.
Yeah.
So it's a grant, but we had to front the money up front, and then they pay us back when it's done. So sometime in FY21, we will get that full amount back.
Cool.
And, okay, moving on, the budget timeline.
Yeah, so...
Who put this together?
I did.
Oh, okay.
So
I was about to give you credit for it.
So just, you know, looking ahead and knowing what we went through last year and kind of some of the good work and the good progress we made in working the budget with the budget committee last year, I wanted to try to get ahead of it so that we're not scrambling. You know, we got a little bit of a late start last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, this time around, I think particularly because we're, you know, looking at things with some different perspective, like trying to not eliminate, but, you know, cut back on the excess in the budget, that sort of thing. So I was trying to lay out something that would get us started earlier. Actually, it starts in July. Not with the heavy lifting, but at least starting to get, you know, so one of the things is to have the inputs all come from the departments in the same format.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the way, except for July and August, this was the way that it used to be, that we did it before you came on. And somehow in the past year and a half, it's got all muddled up. And part of that was probably my fault because I didn't push.
Yeah.
But this document should go out to all the department heads, and even possibly be online so that people can see, so that everybody knows where their chunk of the budget falls in.
Yep.
And also copies go to the budget committee so that they can see what we're doing and plan accordingly.
Yep.
Yeah, so you'll see what I propose. I want to get, you know, get the budget numbers, you know, kind of toward the end of the month once Peg gets the final roll-up. So we've got, because that was something we didn't have firm last year. Here's what we spent in 20. You know,
the final expenditure report.
Right, right. Get the templates done so that all the department heads are working off of the same form.
Yep.
And we're going to, Ray Massey from the Budget Committee has offered to work with us and Trish and Peg and try to get... There's a lot in the software, in the BMSI financial software that we use, that at least according to what they put on their website would be perfect. You know, it's all Excel. We can import, export, do all that kind of stuff. Problem is they've been shut down.
Well, I got an email from somebody like saying, oh, look at all these great products we offer. I'm like, oh, that's lovely. Since you're pushing these products, can we get ours now that we've already paid for? I haven't heard back.
Okay. So let's, you know, get the format set so that the department heads have what they're working with. We'll get the numbers out. I think I'm recommending that we meet in August with the budget committee to at least come to agreement on the basics like we did last year. We did it in October. This year, if we do it in August and agree on what we're going to do about COLA, you know, and I think we have agreement, but we'll have the number that we can use, what we're going to do about merit raises and that sort of thing, and at least get that guidance out to the department head so when they're doing their budget this time, they don't have to do it once. They don't have to do it once without anything and then go back and add.
No, I think this is a great document.
All right.
I think it's fantastic.
And then, you know, the same process we did last time. Give the department heads a chance to do their budget. We'll have a preliminary meeting, a joint meeting with the budget committee for them to come in, because that worked really well to have the dialogue, and I think it cut down a lot of the confusion and back and forth. And then we just go into finalize the budgets and then go into the review so we can be done, you know, sometime by January and not be scrambling at the last minute.
Did you pick these dates? How did you choose these dates?
So these dates... Yeah, that's another. So, what I would recommend this year, because last year we tried to do budget reviews as part of the board meeting, and that just didn't go well.
No.
So these dates are actually the off Wednesdays between our regular business meeting. So, you know, I'll pick an example. We have a meeting on the 1st is our regular scheduled meeting. If there's a budget review on the 8th, that's just going to be the budget. We're not going to do other business.
Yeah.
And that way we can focus on the budget, give that budget the time it deserves, you know, have some of those conversations where we're not feeling like, oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. We just got to get through this budget and approve it so we can
go home,
send it on to the budget committee. So that would mean from, you know, October through December, we would essentially be meeting every week, but 1 week would be a regular business meeting like this, and then the other week would just be a budget review. And I tried to keep the departments down to manageable size, so we're not going to be here for 4 hours.
Could we start them a little bit earlier? Would that be
earlier than
than 5?
Earlier time-wise or date-wise?
Time-wise, than 5 p.m.
Yeah. On those dates, because that wouldn't be, it could be a public meeting.
It will be a public meeting.
It's not
budgets.
Something
Right.
Yeah, we can pick whatever time works, but. Get it done, and it gives us plenty of time to have the dialogue and the back and forth with the budget committee.
Yep.
And
no, I like it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, I think the suggestion to think about, there may be times where the public may or may not come to the budget discussion, but I think with the department heads and other people, we could always look at meeting earlier than 5 o'clock on those off weeks.
Yeah.
The department heads will be, instead of them coming in off hours,
right at the end of the... I'm all for doing whatever makes it easiest for everybody. You know, you don't want people working full days and then coming in at 5 o'clock and staying until 7, 7 or 8. To make a 12-hour day, so.
If we were to start like at 4:30 and run to maybe 7 or 7:30,
I don't think we even
that might, 6:30, 7 o'clock maybe, 2 hours, 3 hours.
But we can work on that schedule, Trish.
Yeah.
That's something to think about. Yeah.
All right, so, if...
Did you want to talk about the 11th, though? That
I need to change... I had put, I just was doing dates and I wasn't paying attention to them, and I put November 11th, which is actually Veterans Day, which is in the middle of the week this year.
Really?
So, because it's a leap year, so it jumped from a Monday to a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we'll adjust that one.
If we have
That's Trish's review, so.
If we have to, we could do it if we absolutely have.
No, maybe we do a Tuesday that day or something. Yeah. Again, it's executive department, so we'll work with Trish and figure out.
That'll be easy to do.
She's got one of the longest. Yeah, 000.
My job here is done.
So if you guys are okay with that, what I'll do is...
disapprove. Resubmit in 90 days for further disapproval.
Okay.
I'll fix that date and then...
Maybe if we could also put on there as part of the budget and process that we review any sort of, we have a day that we review any of the warrants that we're going to put on there
I think that it's.
So will we have the opportunity to amend any, to fix any of those things and not get into that same with like the hill burners that we did last year, so we can help if there's anything like a petition warrant article.
Yeah, I think we should do a similar schedule to this, and you and I looked at one last year based on the NHMA to line out the key dates for town meeting on when warrant articles are due and budget, and back all that stuff up so that if we need any hearings, if we need any of that stuff, we know what it is. And it, that goes back, some of it's January, are kind of the drop-dead date. So, mm-hmm. so yes, I think we should do a similar schedule for town meeting in general, the budget being one part of it, but
yeah.
lay out all the when we're going to review warrant articles and when their deadlines are due and all that.
Yeah.
So what I'll do, I'll fix that date for the 11th, and then just, you know, I ran into Craig Wiseman and floated the idea with him, and he thought it sounded good to start working on this
yeah,
early.
That's
so
smart. Yeah.
And then Ray and I will work with Trish and see what we can get BMSI to do with us to understand what's in our software and what it's capable of doing. So. Yeah, the whole point is to make it easier, you know, for everybody, you know, easier for the department heads doing their inputs and easier for the budget being assembled at the end, because last year was just, you know, Ray put in way too many hours manually jamming budgets together to come up with the final one, and it worked, but if the software will do it for us, I'm all for working smarter, not harder. So.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. That was it for that part.
Okay. We'll move on then to the
you
budget.
Do you want
to
do this now, Trish, under new? Or when did you want to do these?
I want to do it whenever you want to do it.
Okay. I was going to do it right after the
okay.
budget timeline.
Oh.
We've got one more thing in new business, and then we can get to that. The budget. Oh, wait a minute.
That was
we
just
did the
that.
Budget timeline, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, and we can. Okay, the request for payment of the trust fund.
So the trustees need you to approve similarly like you did before with, I guess, Chief Dexter's fire truck. To allow them to transfer that money back to the town.
Oh, okay. So,
right. So there's two. One's for the repair to the life safety building roof that we did
yeah.
for $27,500, and then the other one were the alarm system upgrades that we did in the library and the town office.
So they would one of them.
So
is
yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry.
I think we need two motions.
Yeah, because they're different.
Motions.
So I would make a motion that the board approve the transfer from town facilities maintenance in the amount of $27,500 to cover reimbursement for the roof on the life safety building.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it unanimously. Motion passes.
Okay. And the second one is I'll make a motion to transfer $25,853 from the Town Building Improvements Trust Fund to cover reimbursement for the town office and library alarm systems.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Make Megan happy?
Megan.
Megan? Oh, sorry.
I think there's still one more lobby.
Don't tell them.
Okay.
All right.
Any other new business? Hearing none, we'll move on to old business, town office schedule.
Yeah, so we've been operating with this modified schedule since the last board meeting. I don't know if anybody's heard any feedback from it, how you guys are feeling with that, or...
I have not heard any positive or negative from anybody.
Okay.
So
how are you guys feeling about
working.
It? I will say, the only thing I heard, I did talk to Peg when I came in last week to sign checks,
mm-hmm.
and she said she actually likes being back in because there are some things of her job that, you know, with the file access and the computer access, it's just easier to do here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she was happy with
way easier to work together instead of being like, okay, well, now we need to wait to see what, you know, when Peg's here or Steve's here or whatever, so that we can,
yeah,
you know, it's easier just to get things done. Really, the only problem is me, because sometimes my personal schedule with my children is fluctuates. So sometimes I'm coming in a little bit later, or I'll likely have to work from home on some days. I feel uncomfortable leaving two little people home for long hours, but a couple is fine.
So, do you? You want to just stick with what we've got right now, the Monday, Wednesday? Have you had any, you know, Terry or Steve been having people actually come in for face-to-face service?
They've had people who have set appointments, and then even if somebody calls them up on the fly, because they had them change their outgoing voicemail, but if somebody calls them up on the fly, they'll meet them outside with their PPE on and stuff like that, and it seems to be working okay for now.
Do we need to keep the Tuesdays and Thursdays separate, or do you?
Yeah, I think Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then changing her schedule to Thursdays, where she comes in.
Karen.
You.
Karen.
Karen.
I heard something over there.
Then I think that's worked out really good, because nobody's here when Karen's here.
Oh, Peg is, and sometimes I am, but
yeah,
I keep to myself.
But, you know, I haven't heard anybody complaining about it, so.
You know, if it's working and nobody's complaining, I'd say let's just keep what we've got right now, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
If it ain't broke, don't try and
fix
it.
We can reevaluate again in 2 weeks, or if something's not working, we can.
We'll address it then.
I just think with all of this, I mean, we don't have to rush back into wide open. Better to take it slow and make sure, you know, kind of like walking on ice. Take a step, hold on, make sure it's not going to crack, take another step.
They did make that motion.
Yep, you're all done.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, like today we worked with Julie in preparation for town meeting, or for COVID.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of masks and that kind of stuff. So she went over, we got her some contacts and some pricing and some other things. So.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think, is working as long as we're moving ahead with it. Yeah.
Don't leave without talking to me tonight. I've got something that I got something that'll be interesting to you. Some information.
So yeah, I guess we'll just hold what you got for now and.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. In that case, we'll move on to town administrator's report.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit of things for you guys, actually.
I noticed that.
So right now, you'll see in the packet currently where we have expended funds through June 24th.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. It's going to change again, like when Peg does her final entries and stuff like that in July. So, but this is where we're at currently, which is not wonderful, but it's not the worst.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch of places I was wanted to ask questions on. Now I can't get to my file where it's marked up on. So.
Oh.
But we've got an awful lot of places where we're. Balance remaining is in the negative numbers.
Yes.
In large amounts, I mean over $1,000.
Mm-hmm. And some of that is due in part to, you know, what happened when you were in transitioning with employees and stuff like that. So I think that's what you're seeing. I've been trying to, as much as we can, keep it as it, you know, even though it looks not great, I've been trying to keep the things, you know, where we're negative. I think it just gives a realistic, you know, impression as to where we're at with that stuff, so we can be better at budgeting next year.
Most places, the bottom line didn't have a negative to the to the balance, but there were a couple that did have. So. Concerned me a little bit.
Yep. But, like, we're going to get reimbursed for some of that stuff again through with the trustees. And this also shows the last weeks of payroll. So this already has the payroll into it. So there won't be any more payroll coming out, to the best of my knowledge.
And then the one thing that was reassuring was that the bottom, very bottom line, was still in a positive, not by much, but.
Good night. Okay, there, gone.
Yep.
Thanks, Julie.
Good night.
See ya.
Not by much, but it's still in a positive. As that gets closer, we need to really watch it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to go to Concord to talk about
no.
getting more money.
Absolutely not.
So is there a... I guess the only one that really confuses me, and maybe it's just an entry thing, is that $258,000 for Lower Bay Road.
From the highway department?
Yeah, which...
Or on...
Yeah, that, it's, no, it's under 4909.
What's your question?
Well, just so it says we had zero budgeted, and we spent $259,000. So.
Well, because that was part of, like, the state did some stuff. It was like a matching grant and all that other stuff we had to pay back. And I don't know about all of that. That goes into the Lower Bay Road expansion. And I can pull all of it for you, but if you want me to look into it more.
Well, I'm just wondering if there's a state portion of that that's still outstanding, or if.
I'll have to ask. Because if you look over at. I'm not sure how that works. If it's something like we pay it out and then we get reimbursed back or what, but.
Yeah. And does Johnny have any outstanding bills for his road work? Because I know he had, we did Huber Drive and something else over there.
I don't know if those invoices have come in yet. I do know that Nate had a pretty large invoice from NRA, so, from them and the hauling and trucking, which is...
Yeah, well, but that's going to be nothing compared to Johnny's if they come, if...
Yeah.
If they... Because they're, you know, 50...
But Johnny's was the... that comes out of a different line, I thought.
Right, but it's still going to come out of the bottom line. So if he's
that
got a
he's got a
$60,000 paving project out there that hasn't been paid yet. See what I'm saying? So right now we've got $128,000 left, but if he's got a $60,000 paving bill that's hanging out there that we haven't paid, then we don't really have $128,000 left.
I don't know what has come in for those invoices yet, because I thought that GMI was already done.
That's why it didn't look right on the balance sheet like that.
All right. 80-20
match, right?
Yeah, it was something.
You pay 20%.
Right.
Yeah.
They were.
Pay 80, and then you take over the roof.
Right. Probably in one of the. Into that, if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd like to know what
you would.
If we're expecting any, you know, like again, a transit. Maybe it's just where it's getting reported. But.
Yeah. because the end of the month is coming up fast. So.
Oh, I think it's about done. Right?
What's today, the 24th? So we get.
You're only going to carry stuff for
six more days.
Right.
More weeks, just to catch up on
any late bills that come in.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we still get. We give it until the 15th of July.
And I usually crack the whip with my vendors to say, yes, to the bills.
Yeah.
I don't want to play that game.
Okay.
All right.
What else do you have?
Oh, it's me.
Yeah, it's still you.
Yep.
It's the Trish hour.
Right,
you've got the floor.
I don't have the agenda up.
Hermit Lake.
Oh, so yesterday I received a phone call from, her name escapes me, I have it written down in my office, about, she had a complaint about people out on island number 6 on Hermit Lake. So she was concerned about people putting up tents, burying their waste, and having fires, saying that they were purchasing the island from the town of Sanborton and they had the right to be there. So I asked the police and fire chief to go out and take a peek.
We went for a boat ride.
I heard, yeah, you got to do your boat.
Did
you get some maintenance checked off while you were at it?
Yeah.
Actually, we did.
Monthly one?
The throttle turned up, and I couldn't maneuver that thing to get back onto shore to save my life every time I put it in drive.
They said they had the right to be there?
Well, they that's what they told their neighbors. However, there wasn't anybody there to talk to when you guys went out.
Correct. So, if I may, I can give you a backstory.
Yeah.
So, last year, we had the same issue. Chief Angry and myself, at that time, I didn't go out. I sent him out with a couple of my guys. We were not able to find anybody. One or two tents, makeshift kind of thing, fire pit. That back to the board. The board had talked about doing some no trespassing signs, no fire, you know. And then we went into the transition last year, and I think things fell through the cracks during the transition.
They did.
And so none of that was ever done. So now fast forward a year later, we're getting the same complaint. This time I went out. We did find 1, 2, 3, 4 tents. One tent was just sort of a makeshift thing with a tarp. It had a couple little, like, handicap toilets that you put on top of a toilet seat on a bucket.
Yeah.
And so that stuff was found. There was another toilet with a plastic grocery bag in the bottom of it. So we don't know if they're burying it out there or they're taking it with them when they leave. We don't know. But it has grown from last year. So as we were trying to find some information, I was throwing my business cards in each one of the tents, which Chief Anger didn't have any with him. And so we did find a piece of slate in one of them that said, if you find a set of Jeep keys, so Chief Anger called the phone number, and the woman that he talked to said that she didn't know anything about who had established this, that it has gotten out, and for people just to come and have a good time. So that's where we've left it for now. He did leave to tell the woman that if she knows who is out there, let them know that they either need to come get their stuff off the island or we're going to confiscate it and take it off ourselves.
I think we should put some sort of a sign together and put it out there on maybe
no trespassing or
a couple of
no camping, no overnight camping,
yeah.
No campfires, and
yeah.
I mean, because there's like walking trails out there. Is that what you
mean? Yeah, it's about a half an acre, maybe a little more of an island. So there's a lot of walking trails, and they've done a nice little job, but it's
a safety issue.
It is a safety issue. If we have somebody get drunk and fall in a fire, you know, the access, you know, we went off the boat off the beach with a boat to launch it. It's tough there because it's very shallow. If we were to have to go in there again, we would probably go off the end of Launch Road, which is a little deeper. We'd be able to launch the boat from there, but it's a little farther away. It's around the corner by from Lakewood.
Yeah.
And there are some issues that we need to try to resolve there. I know Chief Hankard has been in touch. Did he give you guys a memo? He was going to write something up. Did he ever do that?
Yeah, he did a complaint report. We've got pictures with
okay,
it and everything. So.
He's gotten in touch with Fish and Game for their assistance. And so I'll let everybody in the area know that if they see something, you know, on the weekend, because that seems to be when they're coming in, let the PD know or the fire department know, and then we can hopefully get out there while they're still.
Yeah, because, you know, we got 4th of July coming up, and all they need to do is to, you know, get out there with fireworks, and one of the fireworks misfire, and we get a guy with a
right.
with a fireworks in his stomach or something like that.
Because it is town-owned property. It doesn't belong to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think they need to vacate the property.
Yeah, and I would even go so far as to...
I'll tell you what kind of bothers me is... This lady from Massachusetts posted a sign looking for her keys. What kind of troubled me was she told the police that she was brought there by a local friend named Aleka. And, you know, it doesn't take much for a female to be encouraged to go with a friend out to a place like this and something bad happened.
Yeah.
This is a local entity and a girlfriend of another local entity.
Yeah.
I think we need to close it down immediately. I
would like to see us put a couple of signs together. It, you know, it could just be made up on a computer and then put on it. You know,
what we've done by order of the San Bernardino Select Board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No overnight camping, no outside fires, something like that.
Yeah.
And we get three or four of them and put. There's one little boat landing. It's not really a boat landing. It's a bank that comes down, and there's a little alcove area where there's a boat tied to a tree. So, you know, there's a couple different accesses to the island.
If somebody is coming up from Massachusetts being invited up there, then this has nothing to do with homeless population.
No.
Maybe we ought to check Airbnb.
From the pictures, it looked too good to be homeless people.
No, it's not.
It's people coming up, and it's not kids because it's kept neat.
Yeah.
And there are some signs up there that say, please bring trash and take it with you. So... it's not trash in there, so there is no, you know, they're illegally burning. It didn't look like they were burning anything illegal in any of the pits. It was all just wood.
So there's no doubt, right? We want to clean it out. I guess the only question is, do we put up signs and give them a couple of days to clear out, or do we just send?
I think maybe when the signs go up, if the stuff's still up there, we clear it out. I mean, you guys gave them...
Well, so Chief Anger talked to that one girl, and we don't know, you know, I know Kevin and Steve are working on contacts, but the other one is in jail,
I would say when we put the signs up, we clear it out, and we leave some messages there that if they want to reclaim their property, they can pick it up at the life safety building.
Well,
transfer station.
I was going to say, yeah.
and when they pick it up, we need to have them sign something.
It's been recycled.
So we know that number one, we know that they picked it up, and number two, we know who they are.
Well, so here's my only concern. You're looking at the photos. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's
not just a lot of canoes.
Yeah.
So
there's
cinder blocks.
Well.
Yeah.
And that part of it, you know, just trying to get tents and chairs and boxes and stuff off. We're talking about a lot of boat trips,
yeah.
And a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know,
so you're probably talking 3 to 5 people. It would take them all day plus.
Yeah.
Probably to get all that stuff. You're talking probably contractor bags, collapse everything, throw it in contractor bags. throw in a boat, go back. But you're still probably talking about a day's worth of labor to clean that hole out of there.
My suggestion would be let's get signs up before the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? And it would include that anything here after July 1st is going to be removed.
Right.
And give them a chance to clean it out themselves.
Yeah.
Fine, take your property and go. But B, it saves us a lot of time.
Right.
And I don't, last thing I want is somebody, one of our folks gets hurt trying to move their junk. So,
yeah. But I would say, if it's there after July 1st, it'll be removed from the island and you can...
And destroyed.
You can... Yeah. Well, no, I would say you can reclaim it at...
Where are you going to put it?
No?
I don't want
to... Yeah, it goes right into the dumpster.
You don't want that. You don't know where...
We don't know where that's from. It goes right into trash bags and just gets disposed of.
Yeah.
I would
take it.
That.
Take it straight to the transfer station.
Yep.
Okay.
I would say I'm not sure how quickly, unless you want to make up handmade signs, how quickly you could get signs.
We don't make signs. We don't make signs here.
No, Steve would have a good contact because the signs shop he uses for the vinyl.
Kelly
might be able to do it quick. I don't know.
Kelly.
About that time frame.
I know Kelly very well too.
I think
my signs.
If worst case, as an immediate measure, you make some printed ones and laminate them. Heavy lamination that'll stand up for a couple of days, and you get them out there.
I can do that. Yeah.
And at least you get
If worse comes to worse, you could probably get those made up in a day down at Staples.
Yeah.
Laminated signs, so that.
And then.
I have a laminator. We can put a couple of big bright signs out and put them on a stake until we get the permanent ones made.
No camping. No open fires.
Get your stuff out by July 1st.
No overnight camping. No open fires. No.
Really all.
I don't know if I don't know if you can do that now.
There's no reason to keep people off the property if they're there. If you want to go out there and go fishing or something, that's fine. But you're not setting up camp. It's not a
commune. That's what it looks like. Commune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
if you make those up,
Yeah, at least. Okay. Highway
probably
has
some great steaks, right?
Say something, Tom? Yeah, a lot of people, including historically, my wife and son would go out in a canoe and go to the islands and pick blueberries.
Oh, sure.
And there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Berries out there in the islands.
Actually, Kenny just bought a boat. Here's one of the islands, right into the ground.
All right, so the next thing I had was an email from Jennifer Dorr. She is one of the auditors that works with us.
Yeah.
She's asking that because of the unanticipated cost of the complete audit from last year with the recommittal and the whole nine yards, that they not absorb all of the extra cost, which was apparently $12,000. And they've asked us to consider kicking in an extra $2,000 to $3,000. So I told her that I would ask you guys. What your thoughts were.
So, from my perspective, I don't think it's unreasonable for them to ask for help covering the cost. It wasn't just part of normal work.
Right.
It was the amount of extra work they had to do because of the transition. The gap in the town clerk, the transition to the new one. There was a lot of reconstruction that had to be done to go back and build the audit trail all the way back to the beginning of the year. And I don't think it's fair to ask them to suck up that entire cost when you know, if they were just saying, well, we didn't know it was going to take us this long to do your audit, that's a different story. But
yeah.
I think the unusual circumstance justifies it. You know, we helped cover some of that cost because it was our problem that generated the additional $12,000.
Yeah, I think that's a good
$3,000.
Yeah. I agree.
You want to go with the 3,000?
She asked between two. She said between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Do we have that somewhere?
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna. That's what I'm looking. Which I'm trying to figure out which line, and we're paying it out of normally.
Oh, the audit services, I thought, was out of
audit services. There it is. So we're actually, that line's already over expended.
Mm-hmm.
While you're looking for that,
we could transfer the money. Well, let me ask you this. Are we expecting any other legal bills between now and the end of?
I don't know.
There shouldn't be any.
I don't.
Right. So we could. Transfer it from the legal services line into the audit services.
Yep. I mean, we could also still split it up too, where she's got in that financial administration line. The software maintenance contract, she's got $1,600 left in there.
Yeah, but I think if you look bottom line, she's.
Oh yeah.
Only got $500, so.
Right.
So John, that the audit services line doesn't have any money on it, but there is money left in the legal services.
Okay.
And we don't think there's any other legal bills coming in. They haven't done anything that should be outstanding. So we could transfer the $3,000 from legal services to audit services. And
also, okay. We still have $5,000 left in tuition reimbursement.
That's going to end up getting spread.
This thing that we talked about before in the non-public, are we going to get extra? We're going to get charged.
We'll do that after July 1st.
I'm going to ask him to wait to execute that until after.
Okay. That's the only legal fund side that we might.
That's why we specifically said FY21.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to go with 2,000.
I think three.
Three.
What?
25. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, so here's the other thing to consider. Guaranteed, before next year, they're going to come back and want to renegotiate
the contract
for audit services because of, we haven't had a new contract in a while, or we haven't had a change in the cost of the audit in a while.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit extra now as a show of goodwill could help save us a little bit when it comes time to renegotiate that service.
Okay, so I will make a motion that we... that we authorize the treasurer to pay $3,000 to Bishan Junky and Company to offset the extra cost of doing the audit.
With the funds to come from?
Funds to come from?
4153000.
Okay. I will.
I'll second.
Ask her for an invoice also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once the invoice is received.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Tom, we're going to authorize $3,000 to go to the Shawshunky.
All right. So I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion passes unanimously. Ayes have it.
All righty. So I have been contacted informally by one person and formally by one other about mowing the field behind Town Hall, or the Old Town Hall, haying the field. So I've been contacted because these people would like to mow the field for us at no cost and then take the hay and sell it. And there really was no good way to, in my mind, to make it fair other than I would like to be able to have people do that for us, be put on sort of like a list, and like just continually go down like the list. So like this person this time, and then the next person on the list the next time, sort of like they do when somebody hits something on the highway. You know,
yeah.
If you're available to come pick it up, then you can come pick it up.
And then first come, first person.
Yeah, so the gentleman that contacted me, he said that it needs to be done likely soon, and then it would probably be ready to be done again in September. So,
yeah, because I know Matt
Swain
it usually cuts it for Old Home Day, but with Old Home Day being scaled way back this year, there may not be much going on in that field back there.
Well, and they're pushing it off to August, so.
Yeah.
It'll probably be grown back up again.
Yeah, and he did that. He did that free for the Old Home Day committee. So.
Yeah, but I think to Chris's point, anybody if they want to do it for free, that's nice. But
there's
a benefit that comes with.
But we should. Yeah.
So
what do you suggest?
I'm suggesting that if anybody would like to be put on a list to do the haying for the town, that they contact me, and then I'm going to have the gentleman who. I forget who it was. I think it was Abbott.
Yeah.
Is that
from Abbott Farm down on 132?
Right, yeah. He contacted me, and I believe that there was another gentleman that I spoke with, but he didn't tell me his name, through the window last week, and then I was also told that Guy Genta used to do it.
Little guy?
No, Bill.
Junior.
Oh.
Which Abbott?
I'd have to go look. I don't know. Rick, something with an R.
Roger.
I don't want him.
Well, yeah, that raises the question, are we going to open this up to people outside of town?
Does he not live in town? He said that his farm was in Sanborn and in Tilton.
There was a recent court case. All the land of Abbott Farm in Salmonton has now been transferred to Tom Abbott's son. Roger Abbott owns no land in the town of Salmonton.
Okay.
And the son's name is
Aaron.
Aaron Abbott.
One of our firefighters.
So if he wanted to do it, that's fine. The other person is Bardwell. Grandson, Priscilla's grandson, lives with her in that house, and they sell vegetables up there.
Joe,
yeah, that's
his
right
father,
up there.
I was here. His father came in.
Okay, that yes.
And asked about haying.
Yes.
Up there.
Yes.
So, I think that would be another
Mr. Bodwell,
good person to have.
Okay.
That's in town. That can hay.
Okay.
But Roger Abbott does not live in Salmonton.
Yeah, I think we should give local townspeople first choice.
Yeah.
To be on the list.
Yeah.
And I think Junta at one time did it, but I
did hear that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think you're absolutely right. Having some kind of way to keep it fair.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just the first one to ask, but you know it needs to, you want to get it done every year just to keep it manageable up there. So having
people,
a rotation.
As people come in and want to ask,
well,
you put them on the list as they come in.
There is a financial benefit somewhat to the person that cuts the hay, so
yeah.
I think
it's
incumbent upon us to be fair.
Fair.
In terms of how people select them.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I always thought we should get some money out of that stuff. But, you sell the hay for $4 a bank, we should get a buck out of that.
All right, I will put the word out. The Avatar expansion is actually live now, so if anybody wants to get their tax information, they can go onto our website and do so. We'll be billed quarterly for that.
So that issue is resolved.
That issue is resolved.
Good.
Hold on.
Oh, hold on.
No, go ahead. I'm going to try it while you're talking.
Oh, okay.
Well, work day, I went on to check out the property.
I did too.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute, didn't have to be for my back work.
A couple of other things, just quickly. I've asked the department heads to review the personnel policy for any inconsistencies and changes as part of the first step in updating that a little bit. And so hopefully, my goal is to have that ready to present to the board in September.
Nice.
So it's part of the review and get it all draft form, get it to employees to look at, and then get it for formal adoption.
Yeah, we'll probably do for our SOGs, our directives to be reviewed by the board too at some point. Apparatus for the second ambulance on, so some of the SOGs would be reworked and usually present those to the board for.
This is a novel idea, the way we're doing it this time, bottom up instead of top down like it's been done before.
Well, I just think it's important to get, you know, the opinions of the department heads since they're going to be enforcing it and, you know, the employees
living with it
a little bit just to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my most important thing with the whole personnel policy is to modularize it.
Right, so you standalone sections, so when you change one, you don't have to renumber every page reprint the whole book instead of just that. Yep.
In part of my conversations with the legal, the lawyers this past week, he did tell me that he has the opportunity to have an intern, and which means translates into really, really cheap research. So he asked if we could maybe start looking into some of the Winnipesaukee River Basin stuff again, because I told him that that's like something that's plaguing right now with some of the things that have been coming down from their meetings. And I told him that in part of that we'll have to update our sewer ordinance and stuff like that. So I'm going to be sending the intern some research material so that we can hopefully get a better stable ground as to where we're at with that.
Good.
We had some law books come in here recently, the past couple of weeks, and I was going to just discontinue our...
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw them because I thought we weren't going to get them. Or
well,
is that from last year?
I didn't realize that they're somehow on automatic delivery, and like now I have an invoice for a ton of money, and I'm like, why are we paying for these books?
So they're printed copies of RSAs.
It's all online.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trish was planning to cut them out. I mean, we've got them. They're in that red cabinet back there.
Unless anybody has any objection to me doing so, I'm gonna.
Good.
Yeah. Get rid of them.
Where are they?
But they're all right there. Well, old ones are right there. I've got three new ones in the other room.
So we got to throw away the last year's and store this year's. And
yeah.
It, but you're right. I mean, it's all online. Why do you need?
It's all online, and the planning board gets a soft copy of it.
Except if
for
you're
their use anyway. So.
Yeah, but we're not attorneys, so.
I know where we can get some attorney information, though, if we need it.
I mean, they make good door stops, but that's about it. You know, expensive door stops.
You know, LexisNexis every few years will do one based on a discipline, like the one you get for planning.
Yeah.
They do one for the fire service, too, that has all 154.
Right. That's,
yeah.
What they do is they take and they collaborate all the stuff that has to do with fire service into one book.
Right.
And they have five or six different RSA chapters.
Right, and that's useful.
Condense it down.
Yeah, these are not. Yeah.
Having a printed copy of RSA, you know, 234:1.
Right.
All 82 pages of
it.
Right.
I just search NHRSA and it pops right up with
I've got it on my
state,
iPhone.
It's
I got
state
an
version,
app on my iPhone that has it.
Really? No, yeah, I have to look at that.
Yes.
All right, so I will get rid of those. The other thing. As part of the expansion for the broadband communications from the CARES Act, sort of came up, and I had an email from Kate Miller, who was the attorney at DTC, and now I can't. I was in the process of printing it out for you guys to all see, but she thought that we should try to take the opportunity to, let me find her email, I'm sorry.
I take them home to help you sleep at night, Tom?
Are those updated or are those old?
Those are old.
But we have a whole new set.
I have a whole new set.
That just came in.
We have a three-volume.
New set?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a three-volume new set of the updated RSAs.
Yeah.
So that's what she's going to cancel that subscription, so we don't pay for them every year.
No, I'd like to send them back too.
I thought they discontinued them.
I don't know how. I don't know.
A private company that does that.
Yeah.
As long as somebody's willing to pay, they'll keep shipping it.
So, Kate Miller said to me that the CARES Act funding for the expansion of the broadband will be awarded in concert with the schools, and so they sent a map updating where the gaps were last week, and she wanted us to probably get with the schools to see if there's any places where there isn't cable or internet service out on those roads. So that's like a little bit of a extra step, but if we wanted to get Atlantic Broadband to further the services out to some of those roads that don't have it.
Yeah. But I guess my only point is the RFPs due on, or the proposals due on Thursday. If they haven't included us in their expansion plan now, they're not going to add it between now and
I don't know how that
tomorrow
all works out.
Well, next
Thursday.
It's the July 2nd is the.
Oh, okay. 2 weeks.
If that's just for the RFP. I don't know how every.
Right, but to answer the proposal or to submit the proposal, they're going to have to say, here are the sections I propose building. You know, I'm going to do 6.2 miles in Samberton, and I'm going to do 27 miles in Tilton, and I'm going to do whatever. But if they haven't already, I mean.
So do we know if those are even part of their initiative?
Yeah, I don't know. So you go online and you look at all the stuff for the RFP, and it's very, I didn't read it the same way you did, I guess, because I thought the RFP was for the actual bid to do that, and then I don't know.
I only know of a couple areas in town that are like Knox Mountain.
Yep.
And the good thing is they just updated the map. You know, they did some expansion on their own.
Yep.
Right? They took it partway up Knox Mountain, but they haven't gone all the way. There's places on Cram Road and a couple of other. You know,
Cram Road. Good.
Yeah. So we had done all that, you know, with the franchise committee 2 years ago. And DTC's updated it, but like I said, it can't hurt to ask, but I'm just not sure that
I don't even know who to ask, I guess, necessarily. Like she said specifically in her second email that if there were school age children who were having problems getting connectivity because of where they were, then they would be likely eligible, they would be considered for the expansion.
Alright, so it'd be a two part. One, getting somebody at the school district to look at our map and say, do you have any kids that live in any of these unserved areas?
Right.
And then taking that and sending it over to Atlantic Broadband and saying, hey, by the way, you know, we have kids in these areas. Are you including it in your...
Add that section.
Yeah.
I mean, I can try if you'd like.
Yeah, no, the worst they could do is say no.
All right.
If we have a chance to expand it, that'd be great. And this is good stuff. And they're required to do, you know, 27 megabit download speed. And
yeah. All right. And then the last thing I have is I have been on the board for the Partnership for Public Health for a couple of years now. And recently, last year, I was asked to step in as vice chair of for the partnership, and I've been hobbling along this year trying to make that commitment. It's not a very big commitment, but sometimes it's just...
Timing is everything.
Busy. Right. Their 8 a.m. meetings kill me. they have asked if I would step into the role as chairperson of the Partnership for Public Health for next year. And I told them that I would not be able to do so without speaking to you guys first. So I'm looking for your, I guess, okay to do that.
Cool.
Blessing, I guess.
The question is going to be, so what does that mean?
It means that I'm going to be doing the same thing I'm doing now, except for I'll be just talking more during the meeting.
Our meetings or their meetings?
Theirs. Okay. Theirs, yeah. They have an executive director. They've got a pretty robust crew of people over there. It's really just sort of the back end, day-to-day layer, back end stuff, and then one their annual meeting is a little bit of a bigger deal, but I don't mean...
Is it going to cut into your time in the office?
No, it hasn't so far. Usually
it's
they
like,
have...
what, one meeting a month?
They have two meetings a month. One is whatever this week is. This is the third week on Tuesday, and then one is on the third week on Thursday for an hour, 8 a.m. to usually 9 a.m. And then their annual meeting is in September, and that's a little bit longer presentation. But I wanted to get your go-ahead before I committed to that.
I mean, to me, it's like anything else. As long as you're able to manage your, you know, get your hours in, around whatever schedule, and I think
it would be a good partnership for the town, especially as we're working with the village. Well, it's not the village.
Samberton Connect.
The Samberton Connect people. They are aging, and an elderly person lives in Samberton.
Oh.
And she's been with that.
Yeah.
To that group.
Yeah.
They've been bugging me for years to attend those meetings.
I don't have any qualms with it.
Okay, so. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
Okie doke. Then moving on, we'll move to select board reports. Rec Commission had a short virtual meeting and just discussed a few of the things that were going on, but nothing that was earth-shattering or of vital importance. I have a planning board meeting tomorrow for the Conley site plan view or site review, which is going to be an interesting meeting. 6:30 up in the old town hall for anybody who wants to come. It's an open meeting. Paul?
You talked about the Rec Commission. It was something that popped in my brain in regards to the budget. Did they ever submit their share back to the town to offset their budget as they've done in the past?
Normally they return something, and I don't think they have this year because it would have come during the time that we weren't meeting.
It's usually done before the end of
this
week. Yeah. I will check. Normally, in the past history, it's been like 50% of their budget,
yeah.
But they've also counted on summer tuition stuff for the summer camps and those things.
Yeah, it may not be as big this year because
so they've got about 10% left in their budget from the year. And I know Amanda had done some implicit transfers for things like to cover some other expenses, so they're not, you know, they're not printing shirts for summer camp, so she
right.
moved some of that money around.
But Amanda might not know that that's the process.
Yeah.
Right.
I think she's been associated with the commission long enough to where she does know, but I'm not sure. I couldn't say for sure that they have.
It might have just gotten forgotten about with everything
else. Well, it's worth checking on.
It also might have happened just before Amanda came on board, so.
She's been here since last fall, so.
But Joel knows that, and Joel's the head of the chairman of the commission, so.
Yeah.
You might check with Amanda tomorrow.
Okay, I can do that.
And just double check.
Yep.
Julie might know, too. You might be able to just walk over and ask Julie.
Yep.
She might know about it.
She's been helpful.
Yeah. So we've decided just to start meeting, the planning board's decided to start meeting in person. We've got three site plan reviews that are pending right now, with a fourth one possible. Plus we have the solar garden. The solar garden is one of them that I don't know if that solar garden's ever going to go because they keep asking for extensions for two-month extensions. So, but other than that, I don't have anything as far as my reports. I would like to ask the board if maybe possibly next meeting we have, if we could come prepared to look at personnel reviews.
Yeah, so I did three just based on what seemed like a natural break. So I did Chief Dexter since I'm the liaison for the fire department. I had done Nate's, and I just updated Trish's since
okay.
we had worked
yeah,
on
usually
that one.
What we do is we do them, and then we bring them in, and we discuss them.
Right. So those three are done, ready to go. So.
Yeah. So I thought, I've done a couple. And so if we, maybe next week, if we could bring them in and be, or next meeting, be ready to discuss them. We need to do Chief Dexter, Chief Hankard, Johnny's, Trisha's,
Amanda.
Nate, and Amanda.
Yeah, so.
So we need to do those.
Paul, Nate, and Trish are all done. I mean, ready to be discussed.
Yeah.
Not.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we can talk about it when we review them, but I'm going to recommend, once we've reviewed them and we agreed on them, that we just let one selectman present it. That way we don't have to drag them into a series of non-public meetings to have...
that there's a way to simplify the process and get the same result. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was cumbersome to drag them all into a non-public session individually.
Yeah, we can.
And there's a way to streamline that and get the same result. I think you're right. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, we could discuss them together, but then just one person sit down and do the, or, sit across and deliver it, you know, and that way.
Yeah. We can discuss that at the next meeting after we discuss them.
I've got the Building Construction Committee tomorrow night, so that's moving along. I didn't make it to the Conservation Commission. They had a meeting last week, and I had two other meetings back-to-back, and they actually met here in person, and I just couldn't make them get here in time, so... that's about it. Oh yeah, that's right. I participated in Paul's first hazard mitigation plan review, so you know that's up for renewal. The Lakes Region Planning Commission kind of outlined the process. We looked through the current plan. couple of really good questions from the other folks who are participating, Andy Sanborn and some others. So we're LRPC is going to kind of go back, kind of lay out the sections that need to be addressed. There are some of it's just, you know, straightforward updating some of the, you know, values for the town structures and that sort of stuff.
Formats change a little bit that's required by this.
Yeah, a little formatting, you know, update the current trends and weather. We did discuss, you know, there's a biohazard section in there, which never really got much attention, and it's a little more important now, so that'll probably get some extra emphasis. But I think the big thing is going to be reviewing the status of all the outstanding actions that were identified in the last plan. So they're either going to be completed, you know, still in progress, or maybe recommended to be deleted, depending on the circumstance. So we're going to meet again in a couple of weeks, beginning of July. And you know, I think we're on a pretty good track. I think, you know, it's a good report. It's a good plan to begin with. It was well done the first time. So to update it, we're hoping to maybe get through three or four review sessions and kind of get it in a good place. And then it's got to go through the state to get finalized. So get our part done by the end of the summer, beginning of the fall, I think we'll be in good shape. That guy. That's it.
Tom?
I'm fine, except how's the Beaver lady doing?
I haven't talked to her.
No, it's been fine.
You see her? Been over there?
Yeah. She's my next door neighbor, so.
Yeah. She making progress?
It hasn't been, down the road, Parker Hill.
Oh, yeah.
No, so they, you know, it hasn't been a problem. The water level's not going anywhere. There's nothing needs to really be done right now. And matter of fact, there's another set that have built a dam on the other side of me. So you got, you know, our house, and then Swain's we're kind of surrounded by Swain property. So this first one is, you know, on the left side of their property. Now there's another one that they've set up on the right side. Another family's moved. Beavers have moved in. So
on the other side of you?
Yeah. So where the
corral is and all that?
Yeah, back behind that. So you get the brook that comes down past right by their cow pasture,
yeah.
And then runs all the way back through over all the way back to Philbrook. Comes out on the other end. So beavers have set up in there. They had some. Rachel was telling me they had them years ago, and then, you know, typical kind of everything got eaten, so the beavers left. Now it's grown back, and they're back in business.
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Do we want to you want to discuss that other issue in a non-public?
Yep, I do.
Okay, do we want to
get a form?
You want to do that right now?
I do have a form.
We can kick Paul out, and he can go home.
Yeah.
Good night, all. It was nice to finally see you after.
So we've been gone for this long. Is that the new and improved fire department uniform?
My uniform.
Or
it's my uniform now.
We're all suffering.
This is his Zoom uniform.
Out.
Good night, all.
I don't know who's on there still, but is Sue still on phone?
We're just gonna, just like we do for anything, end the public session and go into a non-public. And
yeah. Okay. Hey. All right. Is she still on the phone?
She.
Who? Two. Like, oh. Are there people still listening is what I'm saying.
I'm still here.
That's what I was thinking. If do we want to get rid of some of the rest of this so that she can, when we cut her off, then she can just go?
Yeah, do it. Everything except for.
All right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, all we have. Let's hold off on the signatures. Let's do the approval of the minutes.
Okay.
And then
I have some assessing.
And then Sue can go if she wants, because then all we have is the signatures and the adjournment. But we'll go into this before we go to do the adjournment.
Sure.
Okay. The make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen's minutes of June 10th, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Has everybody had a chance to read these and get the comments in?
Yeah, I just tried to clear up a couple of the conversations, but overall it was not much needed to be changed. So.
Okay. With that, any other discussion? I will call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries unanimously. You can sign those.
Thank you.
So that's taken care of.
I have a Terry had left me left this for you guys to sign, and she put a little blurb on here about the previous owners for an abatement. So you can read that. Her write-up is right here, and all of the documentation behind it, and where she is asking that you sign. Sue, are we going to see your smiling face in here sometime soon?
Yes, sir.
No need to call me sir. I work for my living.
All right. So what we have is a parcel that was sold and never released from current use 14 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when it should have been.
Yeah.
And so now this is just updating the land use. And by statute, we can't charge a tax more than 18 months after the sale of the property. So this is just clearing up the paperwork,
yeah.
making all current. So I don't know that we need to. Yeah, I guess we do since it's a tax.
We need to make a motion.
So I make a motion. We approve the land use change tax on tax map not lot. Yeah. Map 9, Lot 3, at a value of $0 to correct the record.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion? We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you.
guys sign all these?
No. Only anything over 5,000.
You sign registers so that Karen can sign them.
Right.
Which, okay.
But if it's over 5, then she flags it for us to sign.
I don't always see this part.
We are signing a check for $23,355.04 to the New Hampshire Retirement System. Okay. I think that concludes everything that we need for tonight except for the non-public. Sue, we're not going to hold you any longer. Trish will take the notes for the non-public.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Keep doing a super job and stay safe.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. So we are going to go into a non-public session under, Selectman present, John Olmsted here, Tom Salatello.
Yeah.
Jim Dick.
Here.
Motion to go into non-public session made by Olmsted.
Second.
Seconded by Dick. We are going into non-public session under RSA 91A:3, subparagraph 2C, matters which, if discussed in public, would likely affect adversely the reputation of any person other than a member of this board, unless such person requests an open meeting. This exemption shall extend to any application for assistance or tax abatement or waiver of fee, fine, or other levy if based on inability to pay or poverty of the applicant. Roll call vote to go into non-public. Salatello.
Yeah.
Olmsted, yes. Dick.
Yes.
Remove public tape and enter into non-public session at 7:10 p.m.